ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
During the election, Labor promised an independent review of the entire $120 billion infrastructure pipeline, with some of the projects in it facing significant time and cost blowouts. That review has now recommended the axing of more than 80 projects, and today the government will reveal just how many and which projects it will axe and which projects might be delayed or restructured. So what will it mean for local and national projects? Of course, it's also more recently said that this is also about fighting inflation. I'm joined by Marion Terrell, who's the Grattan Institute's Transport and Cities Program Director. Marion, welcome.
Good morning.
So what is the why was this review even necessary, and what does it show?
So what it finds, it was necessary because the government did inherit a very undisciplined swag of projects. And what it finds is that there's four things, really. There's too many infrastructure projects in the pipeline, much more than could be delivered for $120 billion over 10 years. It finds also that the costs have already blown out by $33 billion, including $14 billion for projects that haven't even begun. It talks quite a bit about there's almost no discipline on states to put forward projects as part of an overall strategy. And meanwhile, maintenance and council costs are underappreciated and they should be getting more funding.
Under the pipeline have been projects like community car parks. They were announced by the previous federal government and Labor made a big deal about that issue. Are those local projects what the Infrastructure Investment Program is supposed to fund?
Absolutely not. And earlier in the week, the minister released a policy statement on infrastructure where she defined what she thinks should be a nationally significant project. And it's really to do with whether it's on the national land transport network or a key freight route, and whether it's big enough, so where the Commonwealth contribution is at least $250 million. But it does also include quite a vague category, I think, of alignment with government priorities, and that's things like livability, sustainability, productivity, and I think that does leave the government a lot of wriggle room. But I think it is much less likely that we will see the roundabouts, overpasses and car parks that we saw in recent years.
Some projects the review recommends should have their funding withdrawn unless they restructure and plan out the project better. But how can that actually be done?
So one of the things that is really characteristic in infrastructure investment in this country is that governments commit prematurely to projects and they don't know what they're going to cost, how long they're going to take, whether it's worth building at all or whether there'd be a better way of solving a particular problem. So what the reviewers have recommended, they've kind of classified the projects into four classes, ranging from, yeah, this is good, go ahead, through to this is a dud, cancel it. And in between, there's ones where they think they need more work. And one of the ways that the government has done that is by using Infrastructure Australia and the Infrastructure Priority List. So that's certainly a key advisor to government that allows it to assure itself, I suppose, that projects are worth building and that they're the best way to solve a problem.
The state government has negotiations, the federal government rather, has negotiations with the states and territories over months over these projects. They've now been told to chip in 50% of the bills on some of the projects. How do you think they'll respond to that? I mean, you know, I've watched politics for a while. I can't imagine enthusiasm.
Oh, they have been making some rather extravagant claims in the week about how outrageous it is. But I think this traditionally this has been a funding approach, and it seems to be in the end it's a way of slowing the pipeline because they'll have to stump up. But I think more importantly, it shares the risk between the Commonwealth and the state, so that if there are cost overruns, the state has more skin in the game. So it seems like an important mechanism. And, you know, I think in the end, the minister has committed to $120 billion over 10 years. And we do have a fiscal equalisation process through the GST allocation. So if a particular state loses on the swings, it will gain on the roundabouts.
And is there a risk that by doing this, You know, we're at a really important point, I think, in history, population growth, that we need to keep up with infrastructure, that we might be taking a risk here?
I think we're taking a risk if we have a really ill-disciplined approach to spending infrastructure money. In the end, we've got so much in the pipeline. There's been a lot of cost escalation because there's just so much infrastructure investment going on at present. And you hear all the time that people are finding it difficult to get staff and to get materials, and the costs of both of those in the last 2 years have really spiked. So slowing this down is important for, and in fact, 2 weeks ago, the IMF made this point that you need a more measured and controlled approach to your infrastructure investment. So all of this is quite helpful from the perspective of managing costs and the way that the costs flow into inflation. So population growth is the reason why you would need more infrastructure, but you can also sort of get more out of the infrastructure that we've already got rather than constantly building new.
Mm. So getting to some specifics, what are the most at-risk projects and what will be on your chopping block?
So the Minister is going to talk about the specific projects at 10 o'clock this morning. So we don't know the detail of that at the moment, but I think we will expect to see projects that are not on the infrastructure priority list or that don't have a business case that's properly assessed. Those are the ones that will be on the chopping block. I think some of these projects that are smaller than that, where the Commonwealth contribution is smaller than $250 million, will be axed. It doesn't stop the states, of course, from building them, but it's in terms of the Commonwealth, they will step away from them. The minister has said with things like suburban rail loop that she would like to see some sort of more development work done on that after the initial investment of $2.2 billion. So I think there'll be a mix of things that come up, but hopefully they'll be on the National Land Transport Network. They'll adhere to these nationally significant guidelines.
You'll be watching pretty closely. So 10 o'clock is the time and we'll find out then. Thank you so much for joining us, Marion.
Thank you very much.
Marion Terrell is the Grattan Institute's Transport and Cities Program Director.